Okay, great.
Okay, we proceed with our last speaker for this session. Sashi Karanam provides certification services to security product vendors seeking FIPS 140-2 Common Criteria DoDIN APL certifications, and he received his master's degree in computer engineering from George Mason University, specializing in the fields of digital system engineering and cryptography. With his background in security and certifications, Mr. Karanam has used his experience to ensure that security product vendors receive full consultation they need in every step of FIPS 140-2, Common Criteria DoD APL and certification efforts. He's been published numerous times, including the 15th International Common Criteria Conference, Cryptographic Hardware and Embedded Systems, CHESS 2008, and State-of-the-Art Stream Ciphers Workshop on topics of cryptography. Please welcome Mr. Karanam.
Good morning, everyone. I know I'm in your way to your break, so thank you for choosing this presentation over coffee. So I'm going to get started. The topic for today is keeping it valid, maintenance options for FIPS 140-2 validations. Before getting into the topic, I'm going to start this presentation by framing a life cycle for the FIPS validation processes. So the presentation is focused on a vendor approach. So for a vendor to begin the FIPS process, they would appear in the modules in validation or modules in process list. Then once their module is FIPS validated, you would see yourself listed on the modules validator list. And then the focus of this presentation will move on to the what are the different options the vendor would have in order to maintain their validation once they are validated. The modules in validation has two stages. One is implementation under test listing, and the other one is modules in process listing. The modules validated in the recent times or also have two listings, that is active validation and historical validation lists. And then there are five scenarios how you could qualify into a maintenance option with subcategory scenarios under few of those scenarios. Moving on, what are the IoT and MIP lists? When a vendor decides to go through a FIPS 140-2 validation, they would contact an accredited laboratory to perform their module testing and get into the process. So it's when a vendor has a contract with an accredited laboratory, you would get under the IoT list. At this stage in the process, there is the CMVP does not have any detailed information about the product or any other information about the cryptographic implementations of that particular product. Once laboratory finishes all of the corresponding work related to the module testing and submits the report to the NIST, then the module itself moves on to the MIP list, which is the modules in process list. The queue has four slots here: review pending, in review, coordination, and finalization. When the lab submits their report to the CMVP, they are in review pending, and the trigger to move from review pending into in review is payment of the cost recovery fee. Once that is done, NIST assigns a reviewer, so you are moved up in the queue. Once NIST finishes its initial review, there is coordination phase between the NIST itself and the reviewers, as well as the laboratory, and anything that have to drop down or where vendor have to provide additional assurance or evidence for the questions that have been raised, the cycle will flow into the vendor as well. Once all of that is done, we are in a finalization stage where the certificate is being issued. Hooray, we have our certificate. We move on to a different list now. That is a validated list. Effective February 1st, 2017, there has been a new policy from CMVP, which is the five-year sunsetting policy for the validated modules. So if you meet this timeline, you would be moved into the historical validator list, but not on the active list. One of the recent IGs that impacted moving into historical list other than the five-year sunsetting policy was if your module had retired RNG implementation, such as ANSI X931, then you were moved to historical list if you did not take necessary steps effective January 1st, 2016. Moving on to the focus of this presentation, how can you maintain your validation? CMVP presents five qualifying scenarios for maintaining a previously FIPS validated certificate. That includes 1 sub, 2 sub, 3 sub, 4 sub, and 5 sub. 1 sub corresponds to primarily non-FIPS relevant changes, whereas 3 sub corresponds to if the change is impacting the module or less than 30%, then you are under a 3 sub. If the change is impacting the security relevant changes or higher than 30%, then you qualify under a 5 sub or full validation. The 2 sub and 4 sub are unique scenarios where you can extend your certificate sunset date if you meet the necessary requirements, as well as 4 sub corresponds to physical enclosure changes only. We will look into these options more closely. The next set of slides will focus on what are the expectations for the vendor when they want to get their module revalidated. What are the qualifying scenarios? What is the scope of the work involved with these revalidations? And what are the outcomes out of these revalidation, as in impacts to your current sunset date, your current certificates, and the security policy? The 1 sub scenario has 3 different options: scenario 1, 1A, and 1B. The scenario 1 covers administrative updates. So, for example, if vendor requires to update their contact information or any simple administrative updates, you could submit a change letter requesting the vendor contact info to be updated. However, if the modifications corresponds to any of the non-security relevant items that are outside of the crypto boundary or within the crypto boundary but non-security relevant items, then you could also submit a change letter. In addition to that, if at the time of submission your implementation had any security functions for which security testing or CAVP testing did not exist at the time, you could go under scenario 1. For example, if you had a SHA-3 implementation,